This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, the Holiness of Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the Word of the King is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
John 16:43. Jesus Christ declared to his disciples, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Do you have peace, sinner? Do you know peace? Peace is knowing Prince Eternal and Christ Eternal. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came so that you might have peace. Consider Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 1 of the book of Romans. We're told, be justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it that men in this world, sinners, do not know peace? It is because they have not received the Prince of Peace. They have not acknowledged their condition before the living God, who came down as a man in the person of Jesus Christ to die for their sins. They have not acknowledged his death on the cross and their need for his death on the cross. They have not acknowledged his resurrection from the dead and their need for his resurrection from the dead. They have not esteemed themselves dead in trespasses and sins. Man would see himself, a sinful man would see himself as being good, and yet we're told that fall of sin and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God, Romans chapter 3, verses 10, 11, 23. We're also told in the book of Romans that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Before you can have peace, you must have righteousness. And in order to have righteousness, you must be in the kingdom of God. And to be in the kingdom of God, you must know God and his righteousness. The very righteousness of God is the righteousness that you need. And in and of yourself, you do not possess. But God is willing to give his righteousness to whosoever will. We're told in the book of Romans, the apostle Paul, in Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Jew himself, was lamenting. He was mourning. He was, as it were, crying over his Jewish brethren. When he said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Sinful man does, as it were, seemingly many good, noble things, but in the end, it's no good before God, because whatever seemingly good man does, it's tainted by sin. It's tainted by evil motives. Much of the good that men profess to do in this world is often tainted by evil motives. You can just consider what's going on in these United States of America right now with all this talk of from our politicians of wanting to take care of the illegals and give them shelter and so on. That sounds very, very good, but needless to say, they have another agenda, and that agenda is ultimately bringing the United States of America down to the level of a third world country, to the point where it cannot stand on its own 2 feet economically, which is all part of their agenda for a one world, new world order. The Bible predicts will come, the Word of God declares. So, even the good that men profess to do is often tainted by evil motives, evil agendas. So, in the end, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. God and God alone is good. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. there's going to be good in the sight of God, one must be perfect as God is perfect. And again, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But thanks be to God. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 and 20. Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. God has provided for you, sinner, to have and to know peace with Him, Most High God, to have Christ, His very Spirit, the Spirit of God, God Himself, living in you, whereby you commune with God, God communes with you. It's over here in Colossians chapter 1, speaking of Jesus Christ as the head of the church, the head of the body, the church, body of Christ. That's every single person who believes in Jesus Christ, believes on Him as their personal Lord and Savior. Speaking of Jesus, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And when it speaks of Jesus Christ as the firstborn from the dead, He is the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, we're told that here earlier in the chapter, that He is before all things, speaking of Jesus Christ, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Jesus Christ, He is your Creator, and He will stand before Him. In verse 18 of Colossians chapter 1, says, and He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead, that is a reference to His resurrection from the dead on the third day. It's fulfillment of the sign of the prophet Jonah, who was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the whale. So Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For it is written, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, verses 9 through 13. But in all things He may have the preeminence. Jesus Christ as God the Son, equal to God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls it the Godhead. You may know it as the Trinity. He is to have the preeminence in all things. He deserves to be number one.
Amen.
Sinner friend. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. So it pleased the Father that in Jesus Christ all fullness should dwell. What fullness? Fullness? Verse 9 of Colossians 2 tells us, for in Him, Jesus Christ, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ walked the earth, and He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, in Him, you see not only God the Son, but you see God the Father, and you see God the Holy Spirit, and yet God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are distinct, separate beings from the Son, and yet they're one with the Son. Sure, you can't comprehend that, but by the grace of God, you can receive it by faith. To receive it by faith, keep in mind that if you could truly comprehend God, He wouldn't be God. For please, the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, against the being of Jesus Christ, verse 20 of Colossians 1, and having, here it is, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth, things in heaven. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. So God demands blood sacrifice in order to be forgiven of sins. Death for death. Death for death. Life for life. The Word of God declares in Leviticus chapter 17, that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and that God gave the altar for the purpose of sacrificing animals for the shedding of blood, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul, fulfilled from Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you as an atonement for the soul, God says there in Leviticus 17:11. So, because you sin, sinner, the wages of sin is death. What is sin? Sin is transgressing God's holy law. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Before the first ten, the first of the Ten Commandments that God gave there to Moses. The first of the Ten Commandments that are written in your very heart, your very soul, according to Romans chapter 2. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, God says. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus Christ said, the first and greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Can you say you've always loved the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength? Obviously not. Because that is the fact that you've sinned. And keep in mind, you were shapen in iniquity. You were conceived in sin, according to Psalm 51. How were you shaped? How were you conceived in sin? It's a result of something that has been termed as the fall, of which it is written, that as an Adam, all die. God created Adam. He created man. And he breathed into him the breath of life. Man became a living soul, it says in the book of Genesis. And then there was a tree there in the midst called the tree of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. And God gave our father Adam one simple command: do not partake of the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He gave him, he took one of his ribs, and out of that rib he made a woman, Adam named Eve. She's the mother of all living, we're told. And it was in the midst of a serpent. And he said, yea, hath God said, beware, there is a serpent in the midst. He has his messengers. The Word of God calls them devils, and they would love nothing more than for you to say in your heart, yea, hath God said. Yes, God said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God said that. It's written, Romans 6, 23. And it's through Jesus Christ. If you're looking at anyone other than Jesus Christ, you obviously have another God, and you're not trusting in him, and you are condemned. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, thus saith the Lord. As an idolater, and all idolaters shall depart in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The second command, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You may not bow down, as it were, to the literal statue, be it of Mary, be it of Buddha, be it of Jesus himself, which you're not supposed to bow down to even statues of Jesus. He's the image of the invisible God, and he's not worshipped with men's hands. You may not bow down to a literal statue of, say, Krishna, or any of the other gods of Hinduism, or any other statue of any supposed God. But, as a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God, are you guilty of bowing down to the image that you see when you look in the mirror? The Word of God tells us not to trust in uncertain riches, for they themselves, as it were, make themselves wings and fly away. We brought nothing into this world, but the Word of God makes it clear we're taking nothing out of this world. Jesus said, what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, lose his own soul? So, even bowing down, as it were, to your own image and serving yourself, the perfect term for that would be humanism. What Romans 1 calls worship and serving yourself as the creature more than the creator forever. Again, idolatry. Thou shalt not covet. The Word of God declares in a couple of locations in the New Testament equates covetousness as idolatry. So God says, thou shalt not covet. So if you covet something that doesn't belong to you, so much so that you would even be tempted to steal, thou shalt not steal, you are obviously loving that which you covet more than you love God, because if you didn't love that which you coveted more than you love God, you would not have coveted. Covetousness is as idolatry. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. You ever had sex outside of marriage? Nor adulterers. Jesus said, it said of them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Pornography, adultery in the heart. Adulterers, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Men, to act like women or take on female characteristics. Effeminate, abusers of themselves of mankind, sodomy, homosexuality, God calls an abomination. Thieves, drunkards, revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. None who do such things. The word of God declares in 1 Corinthians 6, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Then this blasphemy, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You use the name of Jesus Christ as a curse word. Keep in mind, it is written, Philippians 2, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every time you say God and the word damn simultaneously, it's another way men blaspheme. They take the name of God in vain. God says you'll not be found guilty. You do it just once. Guilty. Guilty. And even sometimes, even the way we sometimes use the word holy, even the way we use the word holy a lot of times, to say holy and then to say cow, that's blasphemy. There's no such thing as a holy cow. Now, there is the holy lamb. The lamb of God was taken away the sin of the world, but no such thing as a holy cow. The same way with using holy, the term holy in any other context that is not directed towards God himself who is holy or towards his words, which are holy. To even use the term holy in a context that is in a form of joking or what the Bible calls foolish jesting is sin. God is holy. You sinner are unholy. Hence, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, in me you might have peace. Jesus said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus speaking of his death on the cross, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life is just that, eternal. You have it, it's yours, you're secure. The Bible says, you're made to faith in Jesus Christ. You're hid in God, in Christ. So it's well said, in order to get to the believer in Jesus Christ, the devil has to go through God, and he has to go through Jesus Christ. He's never going to do it. So indeed, you're secure in God. You're secure in Jesus Christ. But you must be in him. Are you in him? Are you still dead in trespasses and sins? It is written, but now, Ephesians 2, verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye, if sometimes we're far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. 1 John declares, if we walk in the light as he, God, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Ephesians 2, 14, speaking of Jesus, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. Both one. Talking about Jew and Gentile in the body of Christ. Jesus said salvation is of the Jews. There was a time when God dealt strictly with the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel. But in Christ Jesus, God makes the Gentile, those who were not Jews, nigh the commonwealth of Israel. And the enmity that was once between the sinner and the God of Israel is done away with. The word God says that we were at once at enmity with God, but as a result of faith in Jesus Christ, those of us who have believed on him, that enmity is done away. And even as the enmity is done away between us and the God of Israel through the Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, the very enmity of Jew and Gentile. See, at one time, the Jew was not permitted to really engage much in certain matters. There was a separation between the Jew and the Gentile under God's operation of the way God worked in the earth at one time. But today, the Jew and the Gentile in Christ Jesus are made one in such a way that there's neither Jew nor Gentile. So, by being made one with the Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ, when Jesus came down as God manifest in the flesh, to give you peace, sinner, he was physically a Jew. Do you have a problem with what is known as anti-Semitism? Do you have a hatred for the Jew? Because if you have a hatred for the Jew, beware lest that's a stumbling block. Beware lest that is a hindrance whereby the devil hinders you from receiving the Jew who is Jesus Christ, your only hope, God manifest in the flesh, and yet 100% man, even as he's 100% God. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Not some man who dresses in a religious robe and orders you to call him Father. No, he's no mediator, not Mary. No one but the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom, a payment, for all to be testified in due time. Rest assured, sinner, Jesus Christ died for you. Rest assured, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace, unearned, unmerited, favor of God, faith. And what said, faith, fabulous adventures in trusting him. Yes, faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as God, he could say to the storm, he could say to the wind of the sea, ever so tumultuous, peace, be still, and it was still. He can speak peace to your troubled heart tonight. Will you hear? Will you hear him say, peace be still? Believe on his name, sinner. Trust in him alone. And you will know peace. Peace passes all understanding. And the God of hope will fill your heart. The Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Look at Romans 15, verse 13. Tell us about the God of hope, Jesus Christ. He is the God of hope, manifest in the flesh. And he's coming again to judge the quick and the dead, and that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, the Apostle Paul wrote. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? As the Apostle Paul wrote it, and as I declare it to you, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, a reference to Peter. Then of the 12, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time.
Amen.
That's the gospel which will save your soul, but you must believe on Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I tell you, man, if you repent, turn from your wicked ways, you shall likewise perish as Sodom and Gomorrah of old. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange pleasures, set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, which may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus Christ, he spoke the words, spirit and life. They're written down for you in the King James Bible. Why? So that he, as the God of hope, might fill you with all joy and peace in believing. that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. When someone plants an apple tree, how does somebody who didn't plant it know it's an apple tree? They ultimately don't know until the apples spring forth and the apples manifest themselves. If you say you have received Jesus Christ and you've received the God of hope, and that you've abounded with hope through the power of the Holy Ghost, how am I supposed to know that? How's anybody else supposed to know that other than you and God? How's anybody supposed to know that? Galatians 5:22 tells us how. There's going to be something springing forth. The Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit. Again, the Spirit, God Almighty. Remember the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So, where's the love? Where's the joy? Where's the peace? Where's the long-suffering? Where's the gentleness? Where's the goodness? Where's the faith? Where's the meekness? Where's the temperance? Do you long for those things? When someone truly receives Jesus Christ, they long, they desire the love, they desire the joy, they desire the peace, they desire the long-suffering, they desire the gentleness, they desire the goodness, they desire the faith, they desire the meekness, they desire the temperance, the self-control. It's not to say that the believer in Jesus Christ is always 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, going to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, no. But there's always going to be a desire within to manifest those things, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, the temperance. What's this all about anyways? This is about examining your heart, like the Scriptures declare. Examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Know ye not that Jesus Christ be in you, except you be reprobates? Reprobate. Void of the light of Jesus Christ within. That's what a reprobate is. Somebody who is void of the light of Jesus Christ. Is void of the light of His presence within. Galatians 3:14 tells us, "For Christ also hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us," talking about His bearing your sins and mine on the cross of Calvary. "For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." St. John 13:17-21. Real quickly, Jesus said, St. John 3:18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." St. John 13:17-21. It is written, Jesus said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Verse 18, Jesus said, "I speak not of you all." In the context here, Jesus is with His disciples, and He is at the Last Supper, as it's called, to be betrayed by a man named Judas, one the Bible calls the son of perdition. Again, Jesus speaks, verse 18 of St. John 13, "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, that the Scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." verse 19. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verse 20. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Real quickly, sinner, I would ask, though I am not with you, body, soul, and spirit, though I'm not physically present, nevertheless, you hear my speech. Do you receive me, even as I speak on behalf of Jesus Christ? Even as I speak his words, do you receive me? Jesus said, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. May you receive me, and as you receive me, receive Jesus, sinner. And may you, as you receive Jesus, you will be received of the Father who sent him. Though I am certainly only an ambassador, I am only a messenger. Verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. So, we know that this man, Judas, eventually gave Jesus Christ a kiss, and saying to those who stalked the Savior, as it were, with him, the man whom I kiss, Judas said in so many words, this, the man whom I kiss, he's the one. It's written in Psalm 2, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled, but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. So, the issue, sinner, are you going to give Jesus Christ the kiss of unbelief or the kiss of faith? I'm thankful that on a day in March of 1995, by God's grace, I gave Jesus Christ the kiss of faith. How did I give him the kiss of faith? By his grace. I believed on his word, childlike faith. I understood and I confessed and I acknowledged the very condemnation that I knew to be true, which was my condemnation as a transgressor of God's holy law. I acknowledged that I had no good thing in and of myself whereof I could merit, whereof I could earn God's favor, God's eternal life, God's love. And so I just acknowledged God's unconditional love for me as it was manifested on the cross. And by God's grace, I was resurrected to newness of life, even in Christ Jesus, as he arose. That's how you give Jesus Christ the kiss of faith. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Stop trying to justify yourself. The Word of God declares in Isaiah 64, verse 6, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and all our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Just acknowledge that there's no good thing in you, no good thing in your flesh. And by way of God's holy law convicting you of your sin, may you acknowledge the law as your schoolmaster, drawing you to Jesus Christ. The Word of God says the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law of God, God Almighty has taught you through his law that you are a sinner. You are condemned. The fact of the matter is, you knew you were a sinner before you even heard anything of this message tonight. And God has confirmed abundantly what you already knew and what you have heard of his holy commandments. So now, just look to the lawgiver. It's only the lawgiver who can save and to destroy. And Jesus Christ was and is the very lawgiver, the very God of Moses, come down as a man to die for your sins, to rise from the dead the third day. That if you only believe in him, you should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What if you don't get saved? What if you don't believe? Well, it's appointed the man wants to die, but after this judgment, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. It is written, Revelation 20, verse 15, Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, and whosoever loveth to make it a lie. The Word of God declares, shall their part and the lake was put up with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Come unto Jesus. Unto that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Come unto Jesus, and he will wash you from your sins. He'll make you whiter than snow before a holy God. And he will never let you go, never leave you nor forsake you. The Word of God declares, but there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus Christ himself declared that he gave his life for his friends. He also said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, that's one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken unto you, the same shall judge him in the last day. So if you don't believe on Jesus Christ, Jesus himself said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. Jesus said, speaking of himself, I am come a light into the world, that whoso believeth in me, whoso believeth on me, should not abide in darkness. Verse 47, St. John 12, it is written, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Jesus came not to judge you, but to save you. But if you do not get saved, it is written, Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath the one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So the very words which were meant to give you peace, if you do not believe, if you do not receive Jesus Christ, will be the very words that condemn you eternally and justly so. To a lake of fire with the devil and his angels, with the smoke of your torment will ascend up forever and ever, where you will have no rest, day nor night. So, you want to give Jesus Christ the kiss of unbelief, woe unto you. If you're going to give him the kiss of unbelief, then just don't do anything, because by not doing anything, you're giving him the kiss of unbelief. But if you give him the kiss of faith, come to him, but now is the time. Now, today, is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Fear not what men will say of you. Fear God, for the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall dwell safely.
Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber. Till next time, God bless you and yours.